The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. He said to them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. And he told them this parable. There was once a person with a fig tree planted in his orchard. When he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. Cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday morning, as you remember in the Gospel, Jesus used two images. The first, that we're all supposed to be spiritual meteorologists, that just as the meteorologists see where the storms are coming and prepare for rain or for snow or for sunshine, so we need to read the spiritual signs of the times and make appropriate adjustments. Likewise, when we're marching toward the judge, we need to make peace with our adversaries so that we don't suffer the consequences of the stubbornness of holding on, saying we did nothing wrong, and then we get thrown into the slammer until we pay the last penny. Jesus uses both of those to say that we're supposed to read the signs of the times with regard to our spiritual life, and as we're journeying through life, to make peace with God and make peace with others, because there will be a time when it's too late. And in the Gospel today, Jesus says that unless we're those spiritual meteorologists, and unless we're making peace along the way, something's going to happen to us, what happened in the Gospel. Not that necessarily God's going to punish us by making a tower fall on us, or that we'll be in the wrong place at the wrong time, worshiping God when some atrocity is committed by the civil power, but that we'll be caught off guard when at last the time comes, when we have no time left. The time is now to read the signs of the time, because there are lots of people who die at our age or younger. And now's the time, if we've got anything that's not in right order with God or in right order with others, now's the time, as we're journeying toward that appointment, to make that peace and reconciliation. Jesus, in the second part of the Gospel, uses the parable of the fig tree to describe, in essence, what we're supposed to be doing with the time that we have. A fig tree normally takes 3 years to mature. In the third year, it produces its first figs. If it doesn't produce figs on year three, it almost never will produce figs. That's a sign that there's something defective in the soil, or in the sunshine, or any of the other nutrients that it needs, and it'll never produce fruit. That's why, in the parable, when they say cut it down, it hasn't produced anything, totally logical. But this farmer, who represents Jesus in the parable, says, "Give it another year. Let me cultivate and fertilize it." And he would do that with his own blood. He would do that with his own sweat. Give more time. Let us give it another chance. And the owner of the vineyard says, "Okay, So Jesus does his work. Jesus has given us another opportunity. But at the very end of the parable too, we recognize that there will be a time when there's no time left. If it doesn't bear fruit by next year, then you can cut it down. So there's a certain urgency for us to read the signs of the times, a certain urgency for us to make peace, a certain urgency for us to bear fruit. How do we bear fruit? What's that fruit look like? Today, St. Paul in the first reading describes both answers. The way we bear fruit is by life according to the Holy Spirit, in which we allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's totally in contrast to the sterile, fruitless life according to the flesh with which he contrasts life according to the Spirit. There's that big choice we've been talking about all week long, whether our bodies are going to be a weapon for concupiscence and sin, or a weapon for God and for righteousness, whether our entire existence is going to be given to God or given to our own this worldly desires. St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, he describes what happens along those two paths. It says the works of the flesh are these works, because they're all done by us. Licentiousness, envy, evil, adultery, porneia, unchastity, lawlessness, drunkenness, carousing, etc. Then he says the fruit of the Spirit is this. He uses the word fruit in contrast to works because even 2,000 years ago they knew that in order to produce fruit you needed two principles. You needed a female, and then you needed a male principle. The plant that would receive the pollen, for example. They already knew that then. That a tree couldn't produce fruit of its own. It needed some help from the outside. Just like we need the help of God in order to bear fruit that will last. St. Paul describes what that fruit looks like. Joy, peace, love, gentleness, kindness, self-control. That's the type of fruit that the Lord is looking for. We would call them virtues. We would call them stable, good habits that God has helped us to cultivate inside, so that just like a tree regularly produces fruit without all that much effort, so we produce acts of love, we produce acts of peace, we produce acts of forgiveness, acts of kindness, acts of joy. The Holy Spirit can do that in us and wants to. But there's a certain urgency. Christ has tilled and cultivated the soil of our hearts. There's nothing stopping us, except if we think we can continue down the life of the flesh. St. Paul describes in stark terms that life according to the flesh is death. It's mortal. It kills us. And the only way we're going to bear fruit is if we mortify the life according to the flesh. Like a gardener, unless we prune the life of the flesh away from us so that we can grow in the way the Spirit wants. Our great teacher in this life according to the Holy Spirit is Our Lady, through whose intercession we're celebrating this votive Mass of Mary, Mother and Teacher of the Spirit. She wants to mother us in the way of the Spirit. She wants to teach us how to be docile, how to say yes, to allow the Holy Spirit to really do that work in us. At the Annunciation, she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. So I like to say, she never sought to run away from the Holy Spirit's shadow. Her entire life developed under that guidance of the Holy Spirit. So she was the great teacher of the early church in the upper room, in that 10-day period from the Ascension to Pentecost, where she taught the apostles and the various members of the early church how to receive and respond well to this gift of the Holy Spirit within us. Today, in this upper room of St. Bernadette's, we ask her to mother us in the Spirit, to teach us how to say yes, and not just once, but always, to show us how to walk according to the Holy Spirit. So that just as happened at Pentecost with the members of the early church, so it will happen in us, that we will burst forth through these doors and go out and bear fruit in acts of peace, love, joy, gentleness, kindness, self-control, fruit that will last forever. Our Lady, Mother and Teacher of the Spirit, pray for us.